Be turning to the book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms a good bit lately. And look back there again. And I want to look tonight in the 68th Psalm. Psalm 68. Psalm 68. And I just want to really just kind of give you a little thought tonight. This is kind of just what's been on my heart. And probably won't be long tonight. Every now and then, whenever I was at Victory, every now and then, Brother Johnny would let us out early for what he said was good behavior. He would say, "We're going to let you out early tonight on good behavior." And so maybe, I don't know, I always tell the men at the jail, you know, we might get out a little early. Miracles do happen. And so you never know. And it never happens. It hadn't happened over there yet. But, I mean, they do happen. And so anyways, but I really don't plan on being long. I just want to kind of give you a thought and pray that it'd be a help to you and be a blessing to you and just maybe remind you of something. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of the most simple things, depending on where we are in life. And I don't know who or what this may be for, but it is just kind of what I got on my heart tonight. So I want to read this whole psalm, all of Psalm 68. We're going to look, kind of zero in on a few verses here, but I want to read the whole psalm. It's not very long. It's 35 verses there. And, you know, the early church especially really focused and paid a lot of attention to reading the Bible. They would just come together and just read the Bible together. And we don't do that a whole lot anymore, but we should. We should do it more than we do it. And so I want to read this whole psalm and just take a few minutes to do that and then look at a few verses and give you a few thoughts. So Psalm 68 and verse number 1, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. And God getteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though ye have lean among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, an high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such an one goeth on still in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on the instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord, from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls with the calves of the people, till every one submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord, Selah, to him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old. Lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. Now, this is a psalm of David, or song of David, and one of the ones that he wrote, or they are pretty sure that he wrote anyways. This is a psalm, you know, of course, of praise unto God, like many of the psalms that David wrote. And I'm interested, this psalm covers a lot of ground, a lot of Jewish history and things that have gone on with Israel. And a lot of it particularly has to do with the Exodus and God meeting their needs out in the wilderness. And look with me in verse number 9. I want to look at this verse, really kind of zone in here a lot and kind of give some thoughts out of this verse. He says, Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. So that verse there is talking about Israel. David here, writing this psalm, is writing unto the Lord, praising the Lord. And what he's really doing, again, a lot of it is dealing with Israel. And he's talking to God about Israel. He says, Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance. And his inheritance there that he's talking about is talking about Israel. And Israel is God's inheritance. And then he says, when it was weary. And so I just want to look at this verse here and give you a few thoughts here that this verse kind of seems to emphasize tonight. And just give you a few simple thoughts on the fact that God cares. Okay? I just want to remind you tonight that God cares. That's really what we find in our verse here. It speaks really of the care of God for the Israelites. Kind of the background of this whole psalm and this verse really is Israel's out in the wilderness, and he's really talking about God providing for them and taking care of them while they were in the wilderness and in their wanderings between Egypt and Canaan. So he's talking about the care of God for Israel, but particularly when they were marching through the wilderness on their way from Egypt to Canaan. And so we look at this verse, we can draw some truths and really apply them to our life and see the care of God that he has for his people. And of course, you know, we are his people as well. We're not Israel, but we're God's people. Amen? And so God's care is shown in his blessing his people. And that's what David is praising the Lord about here in this verse. He's praising God for his blessings upon his people. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like a blessed individual tonight. Amen? And even whenever I don't feel like a blessed individual, I'm still a blessed individual. If you're blessed, raise your hand. We're all blessed, are we not? God has been good to all of us. And the reason for that is because He cares. He cares. And you know, you can hear... You can hear preaching that is convicting, and I believe in tight preaching. I believe in straight preaching. I believe in preaching right. You can't. It's been said many times. You can preach it tighter than I live it, but you can't preach it tighter than I like it. Amen. I like tight, straight preaching. But still, in light of all that, don't forget that God cares. As a matter of fact, the reason we have preachers is because God cares. The reason He does convict us for our sin is because He cares. The reason He sent Jesus is because He cares. Between the reason He takes care of us and meets our needs, and because, you know, Jesus talked about, you know, feeding the sparrows and us being more important than them, talking about Him meeting our needs. Listen, all that is because He cares. And so God always cares. You know, if we're not careful in our flesh, we can get such tunnel vision over a circumstance that we're in or a situation that we're in. If we're not careful, we can forget that God is still caring about us where we are. I mean, I don't know about you. I've been in some spots. I've been in some places, and I've been in some tight situations that it, you know, from the perspective of the flesh, you just get to wonder, man, does God even still care? But I want to remind you that God does care. And you may not need this tonight, but you'll need it one of these days. You'll need to remember, you'll need to have it deeply settled and rooted in your heart that God cares. You know, most of the time, whenever we jump ship, you know, when the pressure's on, and we ought to be having faith, and we ought to be trusting the Lord, we ought to be looking for Him to come through for us, we ought to be looking for Him, you know, and leaning on Him, but we jump ship and start doing things our way. Generally, the reason we do that is because we forget He cares. Our flesh gets us convinced that God just doesn't care. God could do something about this situation, but He's not, because He doesn't care. But God does care. He is a God who cares about us. And so I want to give you about three thoughts out of this verse, out of this passage, this psalm here, regarding God cares. First of all, it's all revolving around His blessings, okay? And so God cares, and you know, because of His blessings. And the first thing we see in this verse, we know God cares because of the size of the blessing here. David says, "Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain." A plentiful rain. You know, one thing that we'd all have to say about God, through the Word, through what we've read about Him in the Bible, and His blessing people in the Bible, and then probably what we could say with our own experience of the way God's blessed us in our own lives, one thing we'd all probably have to agree on is that God is not cheap in blessings. He's never been cheap and cheaped out on us in His blessings. Now, our flesh and the world, the devil, will get us convinced sometimes that God is going to cheap out. But whenever it comes down to it, and the blessings do actually come, they've never been cheap. God's never skimped out on His blessings. He's characterized, or His blessing here is characterized by a plentiful rain. And that's really one of the characteristics of God, that He's a plentiful God. In other words, He is more than enough. Therefore, as that being a part of His character, everything He does really is more than enough. It's always more than we need. And so He's characterized by plentiful, but not by tightness or stinginess. God isn't like us. He's not doing the best He can to hang on to what little He's got. Oh no, He's open-handed. The windows of heaven are open, and heaven's blessings are turned earthward. And so His blessings are always plentiful. You know, no one blesses as liberally as God does. No one does. See, sin promises to fill you, but it only fleeces you. Promises to fill you up, but it only empties you out. The world does the same thing. Cannot equal God's blessings. Nobody can. Nothing can like God. His blessing is more than a sprinkle here and a sprinkle there and a little here and a little there. It's always plentiful rain whenever God blesses. Now, I think our problem is that sometimes we find the divine blessings seem small. And the truth is that if a divine blessing from God seems to be small, seems to be too small, it's not God's fault, it's our fault. Generally, what happens is our own sin limits the blessings of God. And so the only thing that really stands in the way of the blessings is us, usually. Thank the Lord, He generally blesses us in spite of us, not because of us. And so the only thing that limits that usually is us. It's our sin. And so we see that God cares. We're reminded that God cares because of the size of His blessings. But then, reminds us that God cares because of the strengthening or the strength from God's blessings. The psalmist here, David here says, "Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby Thou didst confirm Thine inheritance." That word confirm there means to establish or to strengthen. And so he says that He sent that blessing, sent that rain, and He used that rain, he said, to establish or to strengthen His inheritance, to establish or to strengthen His people. You know, every blessing from God, that's what it's meant to do. It's meant to further establish and further strengthen His people. Every blessing in your life, everything God does for you, is meant to establish you and strengthen you spiritually in your life. Now, thank the Lord, He does bless us with material things, financial things, you know, the good, even temporal things of this life. I mean, you know, God understands that there's things that we like to enjoy as human beings that aren't necessarily eternal things, they're temporal things. And God blesses us with those things. Amen. There's a lot of things that there's nothing really eternal about it, but there's nothing wrong with having it, nothing wrong with enjoying it, as long as it doesn't take the place of God in your life. And so God blesses us with those things. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I'm thankful that God does that. Listen, I like to hunt and fish and do all those things. I'm thankful that God does that, lets me do those things, aren't you? Aren't you glad He lets you do the things that you enjoy? But listen, out of all those things, every blessing He gives, whether it's a temporal thing or an eternal thing, it is meant to establish us and further strengthen us. See, here in this passage, Israel's marching through the wilderness, and God knows that where they are, they could be very easily discouraged. They could very easily become weary, both spiritually and physically. As a matter of fact, God, from the very beginning, go back and read the story, God didn't send them the short route because of the enemies. He said, lest they be discouraged. God sent them the long way around. See, God knows what we need. Now, you know, I mean, Israel, you got Moses here. He's leading Israel, and he's just following the commands and following the leadership of the Lord. And then, so you got the man of God following the Lord, and then you got
Word of God doesn't lead them that way. And, you know, they could be scratching their head thinking, man, why are we doing that? I don't understand this. I mean, you know, can I just tell you, I don't always understand what God's doing. You don't always understand what God's doing. You don't always understand the leadership of God, but I can tell you this, God knows what you don't know. God knew there were enemies out there, knew there were things out there that might discourage them. It was too much for them at the time. It was beyond what they were capable of at the time. Therefore, God led them the long way around. And sometimes the Lord does that in our life, doesn't He? He leads us what we perceive as the long way around. When it could be easier, it could be a quick step from here to there. God could do this thing and bam, it's done. But He knows what you are capable of. He knows your frame. He knows what we can handle. He knows. He knows what we can take. He knows what we can't take. And so sometimes God leads us the long way around for our sake because He knows what's best for us, and He knows what blessing will strengthen us. He also knows what will weaken us. Amen? Listen, some of us, I wouldn't say some of us, all of us have no more material things and no more money in our bank account probably tonight than we do, because God knows if we did, we wouldn't be able to handle it. Isn't that right? I mean, you look even at the body of Christ, it seems like some do so well, financially speaking. I mean, some, they own businesses and God blesses them and they got making money hand over fist. And then some seem like they're barely getting by. Well, can I just tell you, God distributes and He knows what one can handle and what the other one can't. See, the one that's barely getting by, if they had all the money the other one had, they might be out of church. They might be off wrecking their life somewhere. They might quit trusting the Lord. They might quit relying on God. You know, some people, they've got a lot of money, a lot of things, but at the end of the day, it just doesn't really mean that much. They like them, they enjoy them, and thank God for the blessings, but at the end of the day, it's just not that important. However, some people, they don't have a whole lot. They have very little, but they hang on desperately to every little thing they've got because it is so important. And see, God knows. He knows the heart of all of us. And He knows every area of our life, what will strengthen us and weaken. And therefore, God cares. He cares enough not to give us everything we want and make us a bunch of spoiled brats, but instead to give us what we need and bless us with what He knows we can handle. I was thinking about this today whenever I was praying about this message and running some thoughts on this message. Whenever I was a little boy, I was probably, 9 or 10 years old maybe, and my uncle took me to a go-kart race. And we went to this racetrack, whatever, and they had all these different go-karts, and they, the bunch of them racing. I mean, it was kind of an all-day thing. We watched a bunch of them things race, I remember walking through a little pit area, and they all had their little go-karts up, and man, as a boy, I thought that was awesome, man. I thought that was so cool. I think it's cool now, man. I'd jump on a go-kart in a heartbeat right now, man. I'm telling you right now. Man, I would run wide open on a go-kart. And so you got a go-kart, you catch me doing donuts on it somewhere, amen. And so, but I'll never forget, okay? Now, y'all are going to think this is hilarious. Maybe. But I'll never forget, as a little boy, I thought those go-karts were so awesome. And they were doing this drawing. And they had this go-kart set up. It's like brand new. I mean, the thing was shining. It was fine looking, you know. And they had this box. And you could fill out this thing and put your name in the box. They were going to draw to give away that go-kart. And, of course, we put our name in that box, you know. And I will never forget, for days and even weeks, as a little boy, I prayed that I would win that go-kart. I wanted it so bad. And I remember as a little boy, I'd pray night after night. I'd pray, Lord, please let me win that go-kart. I mean, all the time I prayed. Well, newsflash, I didn't win the go-kart, okay? I didn't get the go-kart. And of course, you know, as a little boy, you're disappointed by that. Listen, I know this is a real cheesy story, but I'm just telling you, okay? I know you're disappointed by that. As a little boy, I was so disappointed. I wanted it so bad. But you know, looking back, you know, what in the world would a 9 or 10 year old little boy done with a souped up racing go-kart that runs like 85 miles an hour? I'd have probably killed myself on that thing. You know, that's the way our spiritual life is a lot of times. I know that's the worst illustration ever. But the reality is a lot of the things, if we'll be honest, if a lot of things that we're praying for, they're the equivalent of a 95 mile an hour go-kart for a 5-year-old, and we don't need them. And God knows that. No matter how bad we want them, God knows we don't need it. We know He knows we'd be a wreck somewhere. And have you ever prayed for something that God didn't give you, but you look back on the road and you realize God gave me something so much better than what I was praying for? And I could not have even worked it out the way God worked it. I couldn't have even planned it the way God planned. I could not myself have ever put it together as well as God put it together in my life. But at the time, I was so disappointed because God was not giving me what I was praying for. See, we know God cares because of the strength of His blessings. He may not give us what we want. He may not bless us with what we're praying for, but He'll give us what we need. He'll give us what will strengthen us. Last of all, number 3, let me give you this very quick. We know God cares because of the size of His blessing. We know He cares because of the strength of His from the blessing. But then last of all, we know God cares because of the seasons
of his blessings. Look at what it says here in the verse again. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance. Notice here, when it was weary. Now, what is the inheritance of God? The inheritance of God is his people Israel, the nation of Israel. And David here said that God sent a plenteous rain, an abundant rain, an abundant blessing that would strengthen his people, be a blessing to his people. And it was right when they needed it. It wasn't a moment before and not a moment after. It was right in God's timing, when they were weary, when they needed it. God knew when to pull the trigger on the blessing and when to give it to them so that it would be the most amount of benefit for them. You know, I think probably all of us, at least I know that I can look back through my life, see things that I've prayed for, needs that I had, and things that I prayed, you know, God, this, you know, you're going to have to come through. This is going to be detrimental if you don't come through. And then it seemed like God never come through. And think, man, well, you know, the Lord has left me out. And then, lo and behold, right in the nick of time, or whenever I think it's too late, God shows up and he puts it all together. It works out. And I can see times where I pray for things that if he'd have done what I was asking him to do right when I asked him to do it, the blessing wouldn't have been as near, as powerful as what it was him doing it in his own time. Amen? In other words, God gets the most out of his blessings by the timing in which he gives them. I was thinking about the disciples out there on the Sea of Galilee. You know, they're right in the middle of God's will, doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. And here they land in a storm, you know, and it's the worst storm of their life. Commercial fishermen, it's the worst of their life. They think the ship's going down. They're all going to die. And they go crying out to the Lord. And he gets up and he performs that, you know, probably one of the grandest scale miracles he performed. I mean, calling out to the storm, saying, "Peace, be still," and the storm immediately goes away, you know. I mean, what an incredible thing. What an incredible miracle. What an incredible thing to witness if you were there. But see, if they had never done his will and done what he said to do and wound up in that storm and been scared to death thinking the ship was going down, right in the nick of time, so to speak, the Lord stepping out and performing that miracle, I mean, look at the power that came. Look at the effect that miracle had that it would have never had they not been in the situation they were in. See, the Lord, he knows how to do that in our life. When we're down, we're ready to give up, he always comes through to rescue us by blessing us. You know, when we're parched and dry, he sends a plentiful rain. When we're fainting and faltering, he strengthens our faith. And he does all this by his providentially timed blessings. Now, what God will often do is if there's a need or something you're praying for, he may not even necessarily meet that need, but what he'll do is he'll bless you in some way to lift your spirits, to keep you going, give you just enough to make it another mile. So you can always count on God to come through during that time of weariness and that time of discouragement. Maybe not meeting that specific need, but he'll always have a blessing to lift your spirit. He'll always meet your need in the hour of your need whenever his timing is fulfilled. And so through all these things, through the size of his blessings, through the strength we get from his blessings, through the season of his blessings, it always reminds us that God cares. And you know, knowing that God cares is just like everything else in the Christian life is something we're going to have to know and believe by faith. Because there's going to be times, and if you hadn't experienced it, you will. There will be times where your flesh and the circumstances and everything points toward the fact that God does not care. God does not hear. God is not interested. The world, the flesh, they'll all be saying that. They'll all be pointing towards that. But you'll have to know by faith, God does care. He does know where I am. He is interested in me because God is interested in you. God is interested in me. God is going to come through. God is going to take care. And it's always going to have to be by faith, knowing that God does care. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and for helping us with it tonight. Thank you that you care for us. Lord, we thank you that you are a heavenly Father and you do care about us as your children. You meet our needs and give us what we need. Lord, you give us, you daily load us with blessings. And Lord, we thank you for that. I pray that you'd help to drive this truth deep into our heart that we might not sin against you. Lord, I thank you for your people and letting us be together tonight, Lord, in the midweek service. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us now as we leave this place. Lord, go with us. Lord, I pray that you would prepare even now our hearts for what you want to do this coming Lord's Day. And, Lord, you'd do a great work among us. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.